Wednesday at this time is Vents Day on the Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week, let's talk long-term drought approaches and Confederate names in our region. Join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. The drought angle we want to work today is not this drought, but the next one, because as this one drags on and people and fish try to find ways to cope while hoping next winter brings more water, there's always the chance that it won't. So what do we do? Cutting back on shower time or lawn watering works for this year, and yes, there are lower flow shower heads available and lawns that require less or no water. But have we switched into a mode of always conserving, and should we? Is it time yet to consider the possibility that this could drag on for a while, that we could be in one of those 200-year California mega droughts that scientists talked about last winter? Put your brain on this. What do we do to get ready for the possibility that the water and snowpack we got could be what we will get for years to come? Have we reached the point where we tell a city, for example, you can't grow anymore because there's no water for you? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic is places named for figures associated with the Confederacy. A writer to the Oregonian this week pointed out that Lane County, one of the most liberal in Oregon, is named for a guy who not only ran for vice president on the Southern Democrat ticket against Abraham Lincoln, but he apparently kept a slave in Oregon into the 1870s. General Joseph Lane was territorial governor, U.S. senator, and slavery sympathizer. At least one person thinks it's time to take his name off Lane County. Then there's Fort Bragg, California, named for General Braxton Bragg, who fought in the Confederate Army. People asking whether his name should come off the city caught the mayor and city council members by surprise. They point out the town is not racist, and Bragg never visited there anyway. So how far do we go in removing the names of Confederates and Southern sympathizers from the record? Staying on the map? Useful reminder of a dark period? Or something else? To start us off, here's Chris in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, I want to share something I do that saves a lot of water, and that is that I read the Humanure Handbook, and I have a homemade compost toilet at my house, just with a 5-gallon bucket, and it's safe if you let it sit for 2 years. It saves all kinds of water, and it's also adding fertilizer, and I'm very careful where I put it. And my understanding is that here in Eugene, all the sewage water goes through a bunch of processes, and it eventually ends up in a farmer's field. So this is a way of saving a lot of industrial process and water and resources. And one thing, you shouldn't be eating crappy food, because then you're getting lower quality compost, so it encourages a person to eat better also.
I've often wondered about the composting toilets, Chris. How much prep time did you need? How much extra space or anything does this toilet require versus a plumbing toilet?
Not much at all. It's basically a 5-gallon bucket, and then there's a wooden box that you put around the bucket, and it's not much bigger than the bucket. It's just to cover the bucket, and then you put a toilet seat on it. And some people don't empty theirs very often. I empty mine at least a couple times a week, and because I just love going out to my garden anyway. And all the directions, including how to build the box, are in the Humanure Handbook.
Humanure Handbook?
Yes.
Okay. And is that found online, or do you have to get it someplace in print?
There's one in my public library. According to the author, it's been translated into a bunch of languages. I think you can also get it online, but it's been in publication for, I think, 20 years or so.
Okay, I have heard about composting toilets before. Glad to get a better description of them. Chris, thanks for that, and best of luck. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on our topics for the week. Topics this week: drought planning for the future. How do we continue to use less water? Do we need to think in terms of this could be a really, really long-term drought? And the other topic is Confederate names on places in our region. Fort Bragg, California, Lane County, Oregon, certainly zing to the top of the list, but there may be others as well. Are you concerned enough about these that you want to remove those names, or should they stay? Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org, or put your comments on our Facebook page. Just want to let you know, too, that as of yesterday, the Oak Ridge City Council put new restrictions on water use in that city because the levels in the number one water well for the city of Oak Ridge, this is in Lane County, 23 feet below normal for this time of year. This is on the very same day that Oregon Governor Kate Brown ordered state agencies to cut back on water usage by 15% by the end of 2020. And progress reports are due beginning November 1st of this year. So this is looking at everything, including landscaping, fountains, window washing, all ways the state agencies use water need to get a more thorough looking over, with consumption dropping by 15% by the end of 2020, just 5 years from now. What do you think? What are the approaches we need to think about in terms of the drought? I mean, are we thinking, when you think about drought for yourself, are you thinking in terms of like, well, that's this year, maybe next year it'll be over? Because as California has shown four straight years now, it's not over the next year and hasn't been for a while now. Do we need to think in terms of what's going to happen down the road? Do we need to think about new infrastructure, new dams, new reservoirs, anything along those lines? What do you think about when you think about drought long term? 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. Skeeter in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was calling in primarily to encourage the use of composting toilets, and thank you for the caller who recommended that. I think we could also do things like, if we're going to be putting water onto our lawns, let's replace the lawns with our own victory gardens around every home and school, get a lot more food production happening right on the local level. I think we ought to stop using nuclear power plants to generate electricity, for one thing. It sure uses a lot of water, and it's extremely dangerous. People know that. Anyway, also, let's encourage water catchment systems around every house. When it does rain, let's capture that stuff. It's good for us.
Rain barrels
anyway,
and things like
so
that.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Skeeter. Good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. You're venting today on water conservation long-term, whether we're thinking long-term in terms of drought strategies, and we're also talking about Confederate place names. Again, the two big ones, Lane County, Oregon, and Fort Bragg, California. Lane County, Oregon, named for General Joseph Lane, who was a Confederate sympathizer, ran for vice president with the Southern Democrats. Stayed in Oregon during the Civil War, but continued to hold a slave in Oregon, we're told, in Douglas County until the 1870s, an open defiance of the law. Interesting for a guy who was once the territorial governor and a U.S. senator. Fort Bragg in California, named for General Braxton Bragg, who was a general in the Confederate Army, was named by one of his former underlings who established the post there on what was the Mendocino Indian lands. And has never did set foot in Fort Bragg, California. So the city leaders in Fort Bragg are wondering, where did this all come from? Well, California legislature, particularly the Black Caucus in the legislature, weighed in on this and suggested it might be time for Fort Bragg to consider a name change. What do you think? What should we do about names that honor people who were not particularly the most savory characters, at least by today's standards? And for that matter, what do we know about this? Isn't there Robert E. Lee Elementary School in Washington State? Anyway, let's talk about what we should do about Confederate names in our part of the world. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Jay in Walterville writes, separate the sewage waste. He's obviously talking about the water issue. Design into the domicile construction designed to recapture kitchen sink and shower wastewater, possibly dishwasher also. Also captured rainwater cistern barrels to the irrigation system to go to preferably drip. Use non-edible landscaping and utility washing and pipe back for toilet flushing. So another set of suggestions from Jay. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
Sadly, in some states, at least in the United States, it's illegal to use composted human waste.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, if you have a you can't have a composting toilet, but then you have to burn the it has to be incinerated after it's gone through its composting system.
Uh-huh. Oh, I was wondering about
which
that.
Which is sad,
and, yeah.
But there it is. I don't even know which states, but I've seen it different, you know, written down places. So it must be true because it was written down. At any rate, gray water, yes, if we could reuse gray water, that'd be great. Black water, even reusing black water if it's, well, well treated. I mean, after all, if you get water from a river and you're downstream from some other city, you're reusing black water that's been treated. At least one would hope.
All right. So when we say black water, we're talking about from the toilet. Gray water
right.
is from the sink.
Gray
water
is from sinks and showers. Mm-hmm. Black water is from toilets.
Okay. Interesting stuff to think about. All right.
On the Confederate names.
Go ahead.
I could see getting rid of Fort Bragg and Lane County, but that's really complex to do that. I'm a vociferous anti-rebel myself. I mm-hmm. consider them traitors. And but even so, it's been a long time. You know, as long as nobody names some place after Nathan Bedford Forrest, I think I can survive.
Nathan Bedford Forrest, one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Thanks for the thoughts, Mark. Appreciate it. It'll be interesting to see if there's any traction here. This is not coming from any sort of mass movement, at least in the Lane County case, because it is an opinion piece written to the Oregonian that prompted the reminder just a few days ago by Linnell Nevius, who lives in Dundee. Linnell points out that he, Joseph Lane, was popular and known to be brave in combat. General Lane was also a slaveholder. Although slavery in the Oregon Territory was made illegal in 1844, long before statehood, and was clearly illegal in the new state he represented as territorial governor and later as senator. He was an outspoken proponent of both slavery and secession, and when the Civil War appeared imminent, General Joseph Lane ran for vice president. Well, this is not quite true. He ran for vice president of the United States, but this was the Southern Democratic Wing, which ended up forming up as the leadership in the Confederacy. Defeated, Lane chose to remain in Oregon while his son left West Point to accept a commission in the Confederate Army. Although the 13th Amendment abolished slavery throughout the United States in 1865, Joseph Lane remained on his farm in Roseburg, and according to a Wikipedia statement and citation from the book Great and Minor Moments in Oregon History by Dick Pinterich of Portland Community College, Lane continued to keep at least one slave until 1878 in unrestricted, open defiance of both state and federal law. The people he held in bondage were citizens. How did the state of Oregon honor General Joseph Lane? We named a large county after him. We named a community college after him. Children in our state learn from two middle schools named after him, one in Portland and another in Roseburg. We named a jail for him, and we forgot. Or maybe we covered it up or thought it wasn't important. Again, this is Linnell Nevius writing in the Oregonian. The piece continues, Oregon has so many fascinating people and qualities to remember and teach our children about. We can't fix everything wrong with history. But do we really want to commemorate over 4,700 square miles in the state of Oregon to recognize Joseph Lane? Maybe we have flags of our own to bring down. Again, that written by Linnell Nevius, writing to the Oregonian in the Sunday edition. What do you think? Lane County, is it time for a name change based on who the Lane was? For the same reason, Fort Bragg, California, should that get a different name, as has been requested by members of the California legislature now? So it's on a more official level there. Fort Bragg being named after a Confederate general. Not a particularly nice one either. We have some more on him to tell you about as we go through the program. But let's hear from you. What do you think about removing Confederate names or names of Southern sympathizers from places in our region? And for that matter, what do you think about Confederate memorials, the Jefferson Davis statues, and all the things that still exist in the southern United States? What should happen to those as we begin to talk about furling the Confederate flag after all these years? Join us on The Exchange with your thoughts on that and your thoughts on strategies for moving forward with the idea that maybe drought is not a short-term thing. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Derek in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I don't normally weigh in on Vince Day, but I just want to make the point, it seems like those two examples with Lane County, Fort Bragg, or Lane Community College, whatever, Fort Bragg, obviously, or maybe it's not obvious, that seems like that's a local issue. Like, it seems like it would be better for the local people to take up. I don't know, it's hard not to side with Republican, or maybe I just say right-wing, complaints of a nanny state with stuff like this, just because it seems if every unsavory character or name out there, if we went after that from above, it would just, I just think it's a distraction from more important issues. Although there's things, I think, like the naming project that Winona LaDuke was doing on the native restoration of native names was a great idea. And I support local or more appropriate entities taking on these things. I just don't really think that legislating from above is necessarily the way we would want to tackle it.
Something you'd rather see happen coming from the people of Lane County or the people of Fort Bragg?
In those two examples, yes. I mean, just like the state of South Carolina would take up the flag hanging on state grounds, you know, it's that seems like the appropriate jurisdiction. I think that's something we, you know, we should remember. I mean, I guess it gets into the bigger question. I mean, the interest groups, you know, African Americans that want to take that on, then, of course, they can engage on that governmental level. Yeah, I just think it's important to remember that stuff. It's the people that it means something to, I think that's great that they then plug in. The knee-jerk sort of just let's start hammering away at this stuff seems a little unsavory with all the issues that seem more important to me.
Bigger fish to fry. Okay, thanks for that, Derek. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you on Vince Day. You can join us on Vince Day to talk about your thoughts about place names named after Confederates, 800-838-3760. We're also talking about drought strategies for the future. Do we need to be thinking long-term? And if so, what kinds of things should we be doing, not just in conservation, but in water infrastructure? If we're going to be spending many, many years with very, very low rainfalls and very little snowpack, what do we need to be thinking about for the future? Join us on The Exchange on either of these topics at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. As Derek talked, I realized, too, we have to think about the fact that we're condemning, in Joseph Lane's case, somebody who owned slaves. Don't forget, too, the reason that Jefferson Public Radio exists is because there is a mythical state of Jefferson that takes in these forgotten corners of Oregon and California, which once wanted to name themselves a separate state, the state of Jefferson. Jefferson himself was a slaveholder. Is this a name we want to scrub from everything? Do we want to take Jefferson off the nickel and off all the other places that he exists as well? Great man in the eyes of many, many people. Historians certainly seem to agree on the value of Jefferson to the history of our republic, the author of the Declaration of Independence, but also a slaveholder. How far down the road do you go in scrubbing people off of history? And what sorts of notations do you make as the years go by to make the history clearer for what people might have had that was good about them and the things that we find less savory now? Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Brad in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. I'm not eager to start changing names and rile up people's defensiveness. A lot of people identify with their heritage. And when I lived in the South for 5 years, and they still call it the war between the states, and they feel like it's us and them. Mm-hmm. And they're not like a racist and, you know, out to whip back people and everything. They're okay people. But if we start changing all the names, it rouses up people's defensiveness. Like, for instance, Jefferson, I admire him. He was a person who was a forward thinker of his time, and yet he was in the context of all that. He had Sally Hemings as a slave, but also his lover, who he really loved and stood by. So there's a lot of ambiguities built into that, and it's just a big bag of worms. Although when I heard about Lane and all that, and I think about Mount McLaughlin, these are crummy names for beautiful places. So anyway, but I do want to talk about the other topic, and I appreciate the callers coming in with composting toilets for rain catchment systems. Is a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. Rooftops create so much water in one rainstorm in the wintertime, they could irrigate the yard with it the entire summer. So those are good practical ideas. But I am very concerned that we have an essentially unethical, anti-moral kind of stance as a civilization towards this global warming business. We've known for a long time that putting all this stuff in the air is going to create more and more heat, and the heat's going to create all these wacky weather systems like the drought that could be ongoing. Now, some people are talking about it lasting on and on. So things like pumping a pipe bomb through our forest in order to feed our addiction to fossil fuels is just absolutely unethical. We're like sacrificing our children and our grandchildren and their children because of our inability to face the transition that we need to make away from that kind of thing and towards all the things that are really working and are coming on very fast, but we need to do it faster.
Well, you certainly
drew the solar and wind. And things like
right.
That.
We certainly drew some threads together here for us, Brad, because, it's necessary to think in terms of if the drought's going to be long-term. Are we talking about this potentially as a result of global warming? Either way, the approaches are probably quite similar when you think about it. So let's talk about it in those terms as well. Let's get your thoughts here on water approaches to drought if it goes on for a long time and Confederate names in our region. 800-838-3760 or JX at JeffNet.org. Debbie and Talent emails, I think Lane County and the two public schools also named for that despicable slaveholder should make renaming a priority. This is beyond irony. It's an embarrassment. That from Debbie and Talent. Also on Confederates, Mike in Eagle Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I think you addressed part of the point that I wanted to make when you spoke about our reverence for Thomas Jefferson, but I would add George Washington to that list. You know, virtually all of us will be carrying either a dollar bill or a quarter in our pockets, which is a mini monument to a slaveholder. And, you know, if we take this to logical conclusion, we need to bulldoze Monticello and the Washington Monument as well. I think we have historically accepted that these were men of their times, and the values that they represented don't necessarily represent what we value in today's society.
Right. The values are different now. You know, the things that people expected of each other back then are different from what people expect from each other now.
Yeah.
And we go in those terms. Mike, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Richard, No Town Given, writes, let's get rid of the Confederacy past. The Soviet Union erased city names like St. Petersburg and renamed them to Leningrad, for example. Communist Vietnam renamed Saigon to Ho Chi Minh City. Progressives should be able to erase names from monuments, rename whatever they want, and be able to revise history as they see fit. After all, their intentions are good. Richard, writing, tongue firmly in cheek. Joe in Talent writes, what to do about the history of the Confederacy and how interweaved in our history has been a real source of division over the years. In its purest sense, the Confederacy stood for secession, treason, and the enslavement of humans to support an economic base. All but one of the states that left the Union noted as such in their written declarations. We need to study it, understand it, and appreciate that it's part of our history, but to continue to laud it as a revolution for states' rights is naive and dangerous. You want to paint the battle flag in your car, tattoo it on your girlfriend, fine, but let's not honor it. That from Joe in Talent. Other situations that involve memories of the Confederacy and the rebellion that led to the Civil War. South Albany High School was written up this week in the Oregonian for its ongoing issue with what to call itself, because since South Albany High School split off from Albany High School, this is Albany, Oregon, not Albany, California, since they call themselves South Albany High School, it's like, well, this is cute. We're splitting off to the south, so we'll call ourselves the Rebels. So that's the name they've held. They had a rebel soldier depicted in their logo on the school gym wall for years, but that's now been replaced. And so they're still wrestling with whether or not to eliminate that name. This is a discussion obviously we'll have again about how far we take things. In the case of Fort Bragg, the general reaction from the mayor and members of the city council is, look, we're not racist here. We didn't know the guy. He never knew the town. Braxton Bragg, the Confederate general, never set foot in what became Fort Bragg, California. So why change it? So we'll see how that works out. Obviously, a lot of resistance from the folks in Fort Bragg and no groundswell, as far as anybody can tell, to rename Lane County, Oregon, even though General Joseph Lane was a slaveholder, apparently into the 1870s. We'll talk about these again, especially the drought part, back on Wednesday on a future edition. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.